If you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and open up with me to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Today's title is Back to Basics, What is Baptism? And the text that we're going to be in is Revelation 19, and we'll be in several other texts, but I will be displaying them here on the screen. And today's synopsis is that we're basically going to be looking at what baptism is all about and why we practice it in the church today. So go ahead and open up your Bible with me to the book of Revelation chapter 19. And for those who are not familiar with the Bible, Revelation is the very last book. So even those who struggle with what the books of the Bible are should be able to get this one. Revelation chapter 19. And let's begin today with a basic question. Not one to answer, but one to sit with and think about. And the question is, what is baptism? Now, I have 3 points that I want us to consider today for what baptism is, and 2 points for what baptism is not. First, what baptism is. Baptism is a picture. Now, throughout the Bible, God uses illustrations as a picture. And these pictures cross all cultural divides, providing an understanding for not just what is written in Scripture, but also the intention behind what is given. For instance, the lamb was used in the Bible as a picture for Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, when one would commit a sin, they were to take one of those cute little lambs, one that was pure white and had no deformities whatsoever, and they would build a stone altar to God and sacrifice that little innocent lamb. Now, the sacrifice of the little lamb did not and could not take their sins away. But God forgave their sin when they followed in obedience in that manner. Because that constant picture of the pure, stainless, and innocent lamb going to death for mankind was a picture of what Jesus Christ would be when he went to the cross to shed his blood in payment for the sins of mankind. Even though the blood of the sheep could not forgive sin, Jesus's blood did. And the lamb continues to be a picture for us today of the innocence of Jesus and the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. This was a public display of the inward forgiveness between God and man. Now, another picture that we have is Jesus being the groom and the church being the bride, his bride. Now, when I say church, I don't mean the church building. I mean the people that make up the church, followers of Jesus Christ. Look with me here at Revelation chapter 19, and I'll begin reading here in verse 7. It says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Then he said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true sayings of God." And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, "See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Notice the marriage was between the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, and the saints, which is those who are gospel believers, those who have committed their life to Jesus Christ. Now, the marriage union in the Bible was a public event, and that is very important to make note of. The marriage was not just the union of a man and a woman that came together who wanted to make a life together, but it was an outward and public celebration of the commitment that was happening inwardly. Now, the customs in the Bible for marriage had three parts. The first was a contract signed not just by the bride and the groom, but also by the parents. Now, within this contract, the groom was to put in some kind of payment to the bride or to her parents. This was a special gift in honor of his desire to join in union with his bride. Now, in this, the groom would vow to give his bride his name and to protect her as he protects himself. The second part was that the groom would come with his friends to the bride's house. There would be a parade and fanfare through the streets, and the bride and her friends would join in, and people would join along the way to make their way back to the groom's house for a feast, which leads to the third part, the marriage supper. That could really go on for days to celebrate the union of the happy couple. Now, we always see that marriage was a public display of the inward commitment. And again, that is vital for our understanding of the gospel. Now, Jesus gives his name to his bride. We are now identified as Christians, little Christs. He promises to protect us by providing a safe place for us to live throughout eternity, the place that we know of as heaven. Now, the marriage union that was made between Jesus and the church was very public. And this union happened when Jesus went to the cross and shed his blood for our sins. Now, can you imagine how much that Jesus, the groom, loves his bride? It's such an astounding level of love that we see the Apostle Paul connecting to this picture in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. He says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Now think about how much that Jesus, the groom, loves his church, the bride. He loves her so much that he set aside his own comfort, his own peace, his own freedom from sin or the temptation from sin, to be born on the earth as a man and have to face the same life and temptations of sin that we have to deal with every single day. Jesus loves her so much that he chose to set aside his own welfare and put her needs before his own. He didn't consider what would be good enough. He made sure that the sacrifice that he made on her behalf would be for once and for all. He loves her so much that he made a way for her to share in his name and to be provided for in life and through eternity on their marriage day. He loves her so much that he chose to suffer immense pain and sacrifice for the good of his bride. Now we who are his bride get to receive the blessings of his love and his marriage here on earth, as we have seen in Revelation here, chapter 19. And it is when we are in heaven that we will join him for the marriage feast. The whole church, Jesus' bride, will be present. The picture that we see in baptism begins with Jesus. Now, around Easter every year, people gather at a church to celebrate what Jesus has done for mankind. Now, everyone has heard the unfolding of the events of Jesus freely giving up his life to die on a Roman cross for the purpose of removing the sins of mankind, being buried in a tomb, and 3 days later rising from the grave and returning to heaven. Now, that's the Cliff Notes version. But it goes much deeper than that. And if we don't understand what Jesus did and why, then we will not understand the purpose behind the gospel, and we will not understand baptism. Now, the gospel is the key to baptism. Without the gospel, we have no baptism. Baptism is directly attached to the gospel. It illustrates the gospel. And if the gospel is important to you, then baptism should be too. Important enough for you to participate in it. Well, let's consider what the gospel actually is. The word that we have for gospel comes from the Greek word that means good news. So perhaps we need to consider first what the bad news is. The bad news is that all of mankind are sinners. And sin is that thing that separates us from God, because God is holy, meaning that he is perfect and without sin. God gave the Israelites those famous 10 commandments, those 10 laws, to show them the sin that was in their lives. Commands such as, do not lie, do not worship other gods, set aside 1 day a week to worship God, do not steal, do not commit adultery. Now, the problem is that all of us today have told a lie at one time or another. Most of us have not taken church seriously enough to commit to going every week. Most of us have stolen something at one time or another. So you see, most of us have committed at least one of these sins. I would say all of us have committed at least one of these sins. Now, that's a big problem, because the Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 10, for whoever shall keep the whole law, so all of these 10 commandments, and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. So in other words, if you kept 9, and you kept 9 of them really great, but one of them you stumbled in, you are guilty of all of them. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us today, every person who has ever been born has a sin problem. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. Now, that's the bad news. Because no matter what, we are guilty of sin. And with sin in our lives, we cannot possibly enter into the gates of heaven. We are stuck in our sin, forever separated from God. And the only place that the Bible mentions that we can go upon our death is hell, the place that is described in Scripture as eternal fire and torment. Now, if we were just left with the bad news, we would have no hope. However, there is good news, and the good news starts with Jesus. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 17 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God sent Jesus to be that innocent sacrificial lamb on our account. There is no other way outside of Jesus Christ that we could pay for our sin debt. We cannot earn our salvation. It can only be freely given to us as it was through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So it is only by God's grace that we can have our sins forgiven. And that brings us to something that baptism is not. Baptism is not the way that we receive salvation. Now, many people today associate the action of baptism as a part of salvation, but there is nowhere in the Bible that identifies that. One other point on what baptism is not is it is not a washing away of our sins. Now, there are people today who get the idea that in baptism, you're basically taking a bath, and so you're washing away your sins. But we cannot wash away our sins. Our sins are removed only by Jesus' shed blood on our behalf. Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 6 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom God poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." Jesus came to this earth and died for our sins, shedding his blood on our behalf. He took our sins upon himself, never sinning himself, but paying the sin debt for both you and for me. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We earned sin. Jesus did not. We could not pay enough money or enough time in service to him to buy our freedom. This sin could only be paid by an innocent sacrificial lamb, which was Jesus Christ on our behalf. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 4 says, "Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." Jesus eliminated our spiritual death in taking our place on the cross. We no longer have no hope that when we die, we will be separated from him in a place called hell. But we instead are filled with hope because he alone has given us a way to follow him into heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." The gospel is the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. It is his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And for those that choose to follow Christ, we make sacrifices as well. And the first sacrifice that we make is that we die to our sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 11 says, "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Chapter 7 verse 4 says, "Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to Jesus, who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God." Dying to our sin means that we repent of it, we turn away from it, and we give it up. That doesn't mean that we are perfect in any way, but we continue to push forward and determine to not go back to our sin. Now, the next sacrifice that we make is to follow Jesus in obedience. We follow his word through the Bible and we obey his command. You see, baptism is three different pictures. It is first a picture of obedience. Jesus told his followers in Matthew 28:19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Now, those that come to be baptized are identifying that they want to follow in obedience to all of Jesus' teaching. Now, baptism is also a picture of ownership. Acts chapter 19, verses 4 through 5, Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." So those that come to be baptized are identifying that they want Jesus to be Lord of their lives. They are giving their lives to him and identifying their lives with him. We also see that baptism is a picture of salvation. Romans chapter 6, 1 through 4 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Baptism is an outward expression of an inward change. In baptism, the believer has identified that they too have died to their sin. They are buried in the likeness of Jesus' death, and they are raised up like Jesus was in newness of life. It is a picture of Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf, and those that follow through with it are those who want to follow Jesus. In baptism, the believer has identified that they too have died to their sin. They are buried in the likeness of Jesus' death, and they are raised up like Jesus was in newness of life. It is a picture of Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf, and those that follow through with it are those who want to follow Jesus. Now, in baptism, you declare your loyalty to Christ. It is not something that is to be taken lightly, but it is something that Jesus instructs us to do, to follow in obedience to him. Now, baptism is a declaration to the word that you now stand with Jesus Christ. That means that we should rejoice with those that choose to follow Jesus, not just by word, but by deed. Those that come to be baptized are proclaiming that they have chosen to turn away from their sin and instead choose to follow Jesus Christ. Now, they will not be perfect in everything that they do, and they will need encouragement along the way, but they want to live for Christ. And so we should rejoice with them and do all that we can to help them to succeed. Now, baptism begins with salvation. Putting your faith and trust in Jesus is the most important life event that you could ever have. By trusting in Jesus, you are aligning yourself with the rest of the church to be the bride of Christ. Jesus is the only one that can remove the sin from your life. If you are not confident today that if you were to die this very night that you would join Jesus in heaven, would you come and talk with me after the service? Would you reach out to me? I would like to help you know absolutely for sure where your final destination will be. Now, in a few moments, we're going to see a baptism displayed for everyone in action. But let's take a few minutes now and bow our heads in prayer and consider for ourselves, do we know for sure that if we die today, we'd be in heaven? If you don't know for sure, will you ask the Lord to show you the way? And for those that are confident that when they die, that they would be in heaven, would you pray for two things? Pray for those that are unsure, but also pray for yourselves. Pray that you would continue to turn away from your sin and that you would choose to follow God completely, not your way, but God's way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your tremendous love. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus Christ to come to this earth to die on our behalf so that our sin could forever be taken away. Lord God, I pray that your truth would be instilled in us today. I pray for those that are not sure that if they die today, that they'd be in heaven, that you would lead them to the truth. Let them come to me. I will walk them through Scripture. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in their lives and prompt them on what to do and how to do it, how to follow through placing their faith and trust completely in you. I pray for those today that are confident of their salvation. I pray, Lord, that you would still help them to put their sin off, to die to their sin every day, and to make you number one of their lives. I pray, Lord, that you would help us all to seek you in all things and not just do enough for you, but to do our very best. Help us to set our sin nature aside and follow you completely. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to know you, to worship you, to love you, to be married to Jesus Christ, and to have that marriage feast in heaven one day with him. I pray, Lord, that you would make us sure of our salvation today. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.